Hello, and welcome to the Preview Spotlight on the Comic Book Cage podcast. My name is John Mayo. In this episode, we'll be spotlighting items from the current month's previews catalog. This is Preview Spotlight number 78 for the April 2014 previews. Now in this episode we're going to be going over some of the items and previews that you might find interesting. How do we pick interesting? Well, we, and that includes you, do that each and every month. This is an open submission kind of an episode. As you find stuff that's interesting to you, send in an MP3 clip just saying, hey, on this page there's this item, you'll like it because. There's a ton of comics and other items in previews each and every month. This previews was over, 530-some-odd pages long. There was another 100-and-some-odd in the Marvel previews. A lot of these items, once you get past the premier publishers, have a tiny little postage stamp size cover, a few sentence at most, like a 50-word blurb to sell us. And some of us are going to know a lot more about certain properties than others and are going to be a lot more excited about certain properties than others. The goal here is to share that and to help find the right comics everyone's going to enjoy. What I'm going to like may be stuff you don't, what you like may be stuff I don't. That's great, provided you find what you like and I find what I like, it's all good. So, the whole point of these episodes is to do that. We've got a ton of clips this month, but it's a month-to-month kind of a thing. Different things, different months are going to be interesting to different people. Some will have more time some months than others. So I really encourage everyone to get engaged with this. And, worst case, I have to break into two episodes. I can live with that. I find that much better than scrambling to get a comic that I just didn't know about until too late in the game. Anyway, so open submission policy on this. We're going to be going through a bunch of clips this time around. Again, thousands of items each and every month in previews. It's easy for things to get lost in the shuffle. We're going to start at the beginning, work our way back using the previews ordering kind of as our rough agenda. Obviously, we're not going to go item by item, page by page, or even publisher by publisher. We're just going to hit the highlights. So let's get going.
Hey guys, this is TJ back for another preview spotlight, and my first pick is in the Dark Horse section on page 45. This is The Guns of Shadow Valley hardcover by Dave Wachter with writing and art and James Andrew Clark writing. This is a full color 240-page hardcover, 12x8 for $25, and I think they have it for about 40% off. So the reason I wanted to highlight this, besides the obvious Dave Wachter great art, which they do have a preview on the page there, is that this was a Kickstarter that I backed of a webcomic, The Guns of Shadow Valley, and here's kind of a little bit of a synopsis. Somewhere in the mysterious Shadow Valley lies a secret that could forever change the frontier. Only a posse of superhero gunmen can defend that secret from a tribe of ghostly warriors and an advancing army led by a deranged colonel, and the perils of the haunted valley itself. So I'm just a big fan of Dave Wachter's art, and sometimes the Kickstarter things don't get as much as exposure as you'd hope. And so this is just a really great webcomic that they're finally putting out in print. And it's a really affordable for 240-page hardcover in the big size 12x8. Just a really great work that I want people to know more about. And so if you're interested in that kind of Western adventure and you're a big Dave Wachter fan, check out page 45 for The Guns of Shadow Valley from Dark Horse. Hey guys, TJ again with my next selection in the Dark Horse section on page 56. This is Dream Thief, Escape Number 104 by Jai Nitz writing and Greg Smallwood with art. Now, this is a single issue, and I know that you guys primarily know me as a collected editions guy, but the reason I wanted to highlight this is one of the better miniseries stories that I read. The previous version just titled The Dream Thief, and I just want to make sure that, as I do read in trades, I want to make sure that these kind of miniseries continue. In order to keep them going, we have to have the single issue sell. So I actually buy these initially in digital format, and then when I like the stories enough, obviously I buy the collected edition because that's how I prefer to read. So, but this is This is kind of an interesting story. The first volume kind of introduced this character, John Lincoln, and it's kind of like this reverse Quantum Leap story, where in Quantum Leap you had Sam would jump into people's lives and try and fix things, where in this story, basically when the main character falls asleep, whenever he wakes up, you realize he's been possessed by the ghost of someone who was murdered or had something horrible done to them. And then while he was sleeping and they possessed him, they went and righted the wrong, and usually by ended up killing the person that messed with them or murdered them. And so he wakes up basically at a murder scene, and he has to deal with the fact and cover up the evidence and try and get away basically from the scene without having to, you know, get caught. So it's just a great kind of reverse a Quantum Leap story. I really like it, and the art's really great by Greg Smallwood. You know, gritty, really good use of muted colors. So I just, you know, it's a story that the last probably 6 months to a year have really stood out for me from Dark Horse, and I wanted people to know that they're starting up with another miniseries that's on page 56 of Dark Horse. Hey guys, TJ again with my next selection in the Dark Horse section on page 70. This is the Complete ElfQuest Volume 1, the original Quest trade paperback, with Wendy Pinney on art and Richard Pinney, I hope I'm pronouncing that, on writing. This is 720 black and white pages for $24.99. And this is, I know that the couple have kind of been moving their publishing of the ElfQuest stuff over to Dark Horse. You know, they started with the Final Quest and they've had a special out before. And so I've actually never read a lot of this material, and I'm interested to kind of get in on the ground floor and read from the beginning, because I kind of like to read linearly like that. And this is a great deal. It covers the first 20 issues of ElfQuest, basically. So, and it's going to usually, Dark Horse does a really good job with these collections, and I'm looking forward to this. And, it, you know, it's basically the beginning of ElfQuest. And I know that, you know, it's been going on for a long time. And there's a huge following for these characters. And I am interested in trying this out. It will be interesting to see how the black and white carries, because I know they've done some colored versions. And I'm not sure if the Dark Horse is going to also put out color versions. But, you know, this is, I think, 50% off their DCBS. So for $12, you're getting 720 pages. And I've never read this material before, but it just has so much great reviews from people I know and I trust. So if you're interested in getting started with ElfQuest, check out page 70 of the Dark Horse section.
Hey guys, it's Drew with a pick from Dark Horse on page 71 of the previous catalog. It's Eye of Newt number 1. This is a 4-issue miniseries by Michael Haig, who's doing the writing, the art, and the cover. $3.99 book that comes out on June 18th. It is 32 pages, and like I said, it's a 4-issue miniseries. This is issue number 1. A young apprentice wizard embarks on a perilous quest. He encounters marvelous creatures of all shapes and sizes, learns a dark secret that could shape his entire destiny. It is gorgeously illustrated, according to the solicit. And for fans of The Hobbit, which I am. So therefore, it's a sell for me. I have Newt, number 1 of 4, on page 71 of the Dark Horse section of previews.
Hi, fellow comic book page listeners and readers. It's Darren, checking in with a pick from DC Comics right now, Secret Origins number 3. We have a selection of writers and artists on this one. This is written by Robert Venditti, Mark Andrecchio, and Scott Lobdell. We have art by Martin Coccolo, Trevor McCarthy, and Tyler Kirkham. The cover's by Lee Bermejo. It's on sale June 25th. It's a 48-page book, and there's a $4.99 cover price. These Secret Origins issues have been going for a little bit more than the typical DC book. And the solicit reads, Green Lantern takes center stage this month in a tale by Robert Venditti and Martin Coccolo. And don't miss the origin of Batwoman by Jeremy Hahn and Trevor McCarthy. And Red Robin's origin, courtesy of Scott Lobdell and Tyler Kirkham. First of all, I think it's good to see that the monthly creator that's handling the Green Lantern tale this issue, the monthly creator-writer of the current Green Lantern series, is handling the origin of Green Lantern in this issue. That's Robert Venditti, of course. And so I think that should prove to be interesting. I'm also somewhat interested in what they have to say about the Batwoman's origin. Maybe that will kind of answer some questions surrounding the new 52 version of that character. And more than any of these other ones, though, I think the Red Robin origin read should be really interesting. because DC, since the New 52 began, has had, as we know, some conflicting information about how many Robins there were, exactly where the start of Red Robin occurred, and how that occurred. We really haven't seen that yet, so that should be quite exciting. As I mentioned last month's podcast, I'm a big fan of Secret Origin stories, and I'm sure many of you are as well. So this should be a really interesting read. Looking forward to Secret Origins number 3.
Next up on page 101 is Superman number 32 from DC Comics. This starts a brand new era for Superman in the New 52. New writer Jeff Johns is taking over the title, and John Romita Jr. in his first ever DC work is taking over the art chores. So definitely a high-profile book. I think they're planning on taking Superman and kicking him up to the top of the sales charts with this creative team. Hopefully that'll work for them. Hopefully we'll get some great stuff. We're also going to get introduced to a new character called Ulysses, who's the Man of Tomorrow and seems to share a number of similar experiences to Superman. You know, rocketed from a doom world, you know, the usual. Anyways, with a creative team like Jeff Johns and John Romita Jr., this is definitely going to be worth checking out. It's a 32-page, $3.99 comic, and I don't know if that, actually, I was going to say if that spelled the end of the $2.99 for the regular size story, but it looks like, I was going to say, I was reading this to see if we get a backup feature. I don't think we do. The Perry White offers Clark a chance to return to the Daily Planet. It's probably just part of the main story. So I think the holding the line at $2.99 may officially be over. If so, that's a shame. If not, that's great too. But again, Jeff Johns, John Romita Jr. on Superman number 32 on page 101 of the previous catalog. Definitely worth checking out. To make it even easier to check out, if you happen to be a DCBS customer, we've got a 50% discount through there. Because this is a comic book page, pick of the month. If you're going to your local store and picking it up there, let them know if you're interested in this. Yeah, Superman's not an obscure title. They're going to order some. But when a major creative team gets on a book like this, it's a big risk for some retailers. How many do they order? Are people going to flock to it? Are they not going to be excited? Tell your retailer if you want it or not. Help them out. So, once again, Superman number 32 on page 101.
Comics for Fun and Profit here with Kyle and Drew. We're on page 121 of your previews guide in DC, and we're looking at Batman 66 meets Green Hornet, number one. This says it's written by Kevin Smith and Ralph Garman, art by Ty Templeton, and beautiful covers by Alex Ross. Now, a lot of people have heard of Kevin Smith, of course. He's written several Batman comics, Cacophony and Widening Gyre. He's written some other runs. He did, of course, a really nice Green Hornet run himself. But most people don't know Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman is the guy he does a podcast with. He's the Hollywood reporter for K-Rock in California on their...
Wow.
And he is a obsessed man with the old 1966 Adam West Batman. So he was the perfect person to put on this. So it's mostly written by Ralph Garman. Full disclosure, I don't think Kevin Smith had a ton to do with it because Ralph grabbed this project and really ran with it. And what they're doing is they're redoing, apparently back in this 1966 run of Batman, the very first real crossover happened where you took the TV show Green Hornet that you had where, you know, I think Kato was Bruce Lee and then you had your Adam West Batman and those two shows converged and the first half of the show was on Batman. Second half of the show was on Green Hornet. So that was the very first instance of a crossover television program. And they're taking essentially that storyline and creating a six-issue series based out of that 1966 Batman, completely written by Ralph Garman. They've reworked some characters where you had Colonel Gum involved in this back in the 66. They've made him General Gum, and they've changed some of that, and they've apparently come up with a really, really cool story for this. So I'm very, very, very excited to actually read this. I wasn't big on the other 66 Batman, but with Alex Ross doing covers, these two writing it, and Ty Templeton art, I'm on board on this.
It's 32 pages. This is number one of six. It's only $2.99. Not bad. You know, normally licensed property type stuff like this, very dated. I don't know if I would in my wheelhouse, but it does sound, you make it sound a little better. So I'm gonna have to check this out.
Yeah, it seems like they've done more of an original story. They're adding some things to it, whereas, you know, some of the other 66 might just be regurgitations of the old program. They're reworking this, and it comes from a guy who really, 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 really enjoys the series, knows everything about it. Huge proponent, big friend of Adam West. He was a guy that was crucial in getting Adam West to star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, so he's in with them, knows all those people, and I'm really interested to see just his passion come out in this project. So I'm really looking forward to this, and I'm going to be picking it up.
Really cool to see DC and Dynamite working together. But we see more of these publishers working together and being able to publish, co-publish things. That's kind of neat. There's a lot of possibilities there. So, again, it's Batman 66 meets Green Hornet number 1 on page 121 of the DC section of previews.
And make sure you check out Comics for Fun and Profit at comicsfunprofit.com.
It's Darren with another DC Comics pick this month. This one originated with the DC Digital First program, and it comes from the Adventures of Superman title. This print edition is Adventures of Superman number 14. This is written by Max Landis and Fabian Nicenza. We have art by Jock, Phil Hester, and Eric Gapster. Cover by Jock. This one's on sale June 25th, 40 pages, and it's a $3.99 book. The solicit reads, "The Joker's in town, and he wants to meet Superman." Find out what happens next in this one-of-a-kind story from Chronicle writer Max Landis and legendary artist Jock. Plus, don't miss Clark Kent's babysitting adventures as he looks after none other than Sugar and Spike. Some of you may remember that title, Sugar and Spike, from the Golden Age of comic books, and I don't remember or know how many times that these two characters have shown up since the Golden Age, but I can't imagine it's too many times. I have read both of these stories. They took place in three Digital First titles from DC Comics. And one thing that I like about how DC Comics has been publishing some of its Digital First titles in print is that for the standard cover price, well, standard $3.99 cover price here, you get more pages than you usually do. Because essentially, one Digital First edition is equivalent to half of a typical regular print comic. So the fact that you're actually getting three means you're getting about one and a half typical print comics for the price of $3.99. And at a $3.99 cover price, I guess these days we should hope for a few extra pages, even though we don't always get them. But again, I've read these stories. They're highly entertaining. I think the Superman and Joker story is one of the best Joker stories, actually, that I've read in a very long time. There's a very interesting, not giving anything away, but there's a very interesting game of psychological cat and mouse going on between the two characters in this story that is very compelling. So I highly recommend that. The Sugar and Spike story is entertaining as well, very humorous, lighthearted. Loved it. And we get a chance to see the Clark Kent side of Superman in a very unusual situation for him. So I highly recommend Adventures of Superman, number 14. Darren again with two hardcovers to recommend. The first hardcover is Batman, A Celebration of 75 Years. The second one is a companion to this title called The Joker, A Celebration of 75 Years. Both of these go on sale on July 16th. The Batman Celebration hardcover is 384 pages in length for $39.99. The Joker hardcover has 384 pages again for $39.99. Of course, we're talking about a 75-year history of both of these characters, so if I were to read all of the writers and artists for each of these titles, we'd be here for a while, and I don't want to have to recap all that for you. But, you know, suffice it to say, the legends are in here. Bill Finger, Denny O'Neill, Neil Adams, of course, Bob Kane as one of the creators as well, and many, many more. You know, the greatest hits, essentially, titles and compilations can always be somewhat controversial. I just finished a print run, even though it's been 25 years since this book came out. I just finished collecting a print run of the greatest stories ever told trade paperbacks. They started as hardcovers, and then I got the trade paperbacks from DC Comics back in the mid-80s. From what I've read, those are some of the best collections that you can find out there of DC Comics material from the first 50 years. A few years later, DC Comics, in the last decade, tried something similar in which they would name the character first in the title, followed by the greatest stories ever told. So, for instance, you have two volumes of Batman, the greatest stories ever told, etc. And from what I understand about these collections, there weren't as many fan favorite choices in those books. So it'll be interesting to see what the reaction is to this latest round. I did pick up Superman, a celebration of 75 years collection, as well as the Lois Lane collection last year. And I have to say, I've really enjoyed both of them. A brief comment about the digital quality. I have to tell you that if you buy them on Comixology like I did, it's fascinating to view these books in panel-by-panel mode. The smart panel mode that they have, because the reproduction and the attention to detail and quality that DC Comics has paid to the remastering of these issues is just impeccable. It's really remarkable when you zoom in on a panel and view it that way. For instance, in the Superman collection, I was reading Superman 76, which is the first in-story team-up between Superman and Batman, not just on a cover, but the two characters joined together and teamed up for the first time in Superman 76. And if you go panel by panel in that particular tale, it's stunning, the quality. So I can only imagine the print comics, of course, are going to have the utmost quality as well. I don't know if these will be held as in high regard as the 50-year compilations, but as somebody who's a comics history nut, I am definitely going to devour these. So I would recommend Batman and the Joker Celebration of 75 Years collections coming out in July.
Hey guys, this is Brandon, and this week I'm previewing The Week, number 10, written by Scott Snyder and art by Sean Murphy. Now first off, this is the final episode, final issue of this miniseries, and it has been fantastic. The art by Sean Murphy has been perfect when identifying these evil mer creatures that just seem to be attacking, plaguing the human race. And Scott Snyder, as a writer of a horror series, has been fantastic. And just think back to Severed. The Wake has been incredible. So hopefully one day when he does move on past Batman, that he continues to write more and more of horror stories. So this week, check out The Wake number 10.
Next up on page 163 from IDW, Star Trek, Harlan Ellison's The City on the Edge of Forever, the original teleplay, number 1 of 5. Now, The City on the Edge of Forever was a award-winning episode of the original Star Trek series. It was written by Harlan Ellison and then edited before getting used, rewritten a little, you know, changed. Not the sort of thing that Harlan Ellison really likes to have happen. And understandably so. I mean, very talented writer, and you're changing what he's writing. So now, nearly 50 years later, IDW is adapting the original, unrevised, unabridged script or teleplay for that episode. And they're working closely with Harlan Ellison to do this, so he should be, you know, very much in favor of how it turns out. And they're taking, you know, what was one of the most memorable episodes of Star Trek, and doing it how the author originally intended. So very exciting stuff. Scott Tipton and David Tipton are doing the writing. J.K. Woodward is doing the art. IDW's just been knocking it out of the park with the Star Trek stuff for years now. And I'm looking forward to seeing this. Looking forward to seeing Harlan Ellison's kind of original vision of what he wanted and how that plays out. So if you're a Star Trek fan, if you're a Harlan Ellison fan, definitely worth picking this up. It's a $3.99 comic. We've got a 50% discount through DCBS. So once again, Star Trek, Harlan Ellison's The City on the Edge of Forever, the original teleplay, number 1 of 5, from IDW on page 163. Check it out.
Darren again with my next pick. This one is from IDW. It's The X-Files, Season 10, Number 13. We have Joe Harris as a writer, Matthew Dow Smith as an artist, and Francisco Francavilla doing the cover. The solicit reads, Black Oil has returned, and along with it, the long-dead double agent Alex Krycek. In order to solve the mystery of Krycek's return, Mulder and Scully seek help from the lone gunman, who seem to have trouble of their own. 32-page book, it's $3.99, And we've got some variant covers coming with this as well. Actually, one in particular, a Mark McHanley variant cover featuring Agent Scully. I'm really enjoying this series. This one kind of took me by surprise. Comixology had a sale last month of many of the X-Files titles to date from IDW, along with some of the older collections. I snapped up the IDW issues for 99 cents a piece, and after reading the first arc, I was totally hooked. Actually, after reading the first issue, I was really hooked on this. They did a really nice job of picking up the storyline of the X-Files after the most recent movie, and actually did a really great job of explaining the return of some characters that you may have thought were dead. All at the same time, they took this in an entirely new direction with a new plot that they explored. And I like that. As I understand it, this series since then is picking up on a few more plot points from the X-Files series, and Alex Krycek is certainly one of them, of course. But if you were a fan of the X-Files TV show, jump on board IDW's X-Files book, because it's a very similar feeling to the TV show. Very murky, shadowy, and just excellent film noir style of writing and presentation here. So I highly recommend the X-Files from IDW, number 13.
Hey guys, TJ here again with another selection, this time in the IDW section on page 185. It's Love and Capes, the Complete Collection by Tom Zahler, doing writing and art. 676 pages, full color, $50, but I think there's a good 30-35% off, and it's basically all 24 issues of the Love and Capes Complete Collection. And so it says, the Crusader and Abby have been Comicdom's favorite super couple for years. Now this first date, their first I love you, the engagement, the wedding, the pregnancy, and more, all collected in one volume. The entire run of Love and Capes, fan favorite series, is collected here. Love does conquer all. And this is a Hart Harvey nominated series. I've heard great things. I actually haven't read it, but I'm a very particular fan about really complete collections. I love getting, you know, especially these big, huge, meaty stories all in one place. You know, it is a little bit of a dollar investment, but I kind of feel like when it's, you know, when it's been nominated for, you know, these Harvey Awards, and I've heard really good things online, that, you know, it's kind of worth taking a shot on these complete stories, because that's what I'm really interested in, is complete stories. Sometimes you get bogged down in Marvel and DC because they have to reset and there's not really, you know, an end to the stories they're telling. But these kind of stories where they have a beginning, middle, and end, I'm a real big fan of. So if you're interested in that, check it out on page 185 of IDW.
Love and Capes is well worth getting. I have been a fan of that for years. I originally encountered it as I got issue number 4 or 8, I forget which it was. It was a free comic book day comic, actually, and it was a regular issue of the ongoing quarterly series or whatever at the time. So here was a creator giving away the goods, so to speak, and it was just a brilliant issue. It's told in a format where it's essentially a digital first thing. Each page, for the most part, it's certainly not this way categorically, is something he had serialized out on, I forget if it was a daily, weekly, or whatever basis he was putting it up on his website. But what that meant is the top half of the page had a story beat, had some semblance of completeness in and of itself. The next half had the same thing, and it was continuing on. It was an ongoing story. But it was one of those where it felt like things just kept happening. Maybe it was just a joke, a one-liner, or a story beat, or something. But the story kept moving forward at a very good pace, did that each and every issue. I always felt like out of the issue I got more story than I'd get in a 3 or 4 issues of a regular comic. Followed it from that point forward. It is just absolutely brilliant. One of the few things I would say is consistently at that 5 out of 5, or if not, damn close to it, every single issue. Tom Zahler is just very, very talented. This is the complete run of it. It's essentially Mad About You featuring Lois and Clark of sorts. You know, it's a romantic comedy featuring a Superman type and, you know, I don't say a stand-in for Lois Lane, but it uses the archetypes and it uses them well without feeling overly derivative. These characters are their own selves, yet it's set in a using the archetypes to make things familiar when other characters need to get introduced. $50, yeah, that may seem a little steep. 676 pages in color. So it may seem a little hefty on the price tag, but it's 24 issues. It is 24 very full, solid issues. I think it is a bargain at that price. DCBS has it at a 35% discount, bringing its price to $32.50. Well worth getting. So great, great recommendation there. Thanks for spotlighting that, TJ. I had somehow missed it when going through the advanced solicits.
This is Derek with the Comics Alternative Podcast. It's been a couple of months since I've been on this show, and I'm glad to be back. My first pick from the April catalog is on page 187 in the IDW section. It's Knuckleheads, First Contact. This is written by Brian Winkler and with art by Robert Wilson IV. The solicit reads this way. Trevor K. Travinsky is massively hungover when he was given the cosmic powers of the Crystal Fist, so he has no idea how they work. Join Trev, his roommate Lance, Pizza Guy, and Emma, the hot drunk English chick, as they embark on a hero's journey, hitting every pothole along the way. This title is notable for several reasons. First, this is just another example of a digital comic that originated at Monkey Brain Comics coming into print as a collection, and we've had various publishers do this. IDW, Dark Horse, and Image have been publishing in collections various narrative arcs of comics that originally appeared digitally on Monkey Brain. So this is good. If you're not into digital comics, then you can get into some of these good titles. Another reason why this is notable is because this indeed is a good title. It's fun, it's strange, and Winkler has a great sense of humor, and you can't beat the art of Robert Wilson. Basically, you have a collection of, washouts or losers, and one of them, Trevor, gets some kind of superpower with something like crystal on his fist. He has no idea how it got there or how to use it. You see him throughout the series in a bathrobe, wondering what's going on and inadvertently using his power. So it's a humorous adventure title that you will enjoy. Another reason why I think it's notable is because, and I'm blowing my own horn here with the Comics Alternative, my colleague Andy and I discussed this back in January when we did our special digital comics episode, and this was one of the standout titles. So I'm glad to see that Knuckleheads by Winkler and Wilson IV is seeing print. You can check it out and find out how much fun it is by reading the solicit on page 187 of the April catalog. Hello again, this is Derek from the Comics Alternative Podcast, and my next pick of the month is in the Image section, and it is one of five new number ones from Image, and that's the new title from Robert Kirkman, Outcast. The story is by Robert Kirkman. The art is by Paul Azaceta, and Elizabeth Breitweiser does the cover art. This is a new horror series from The Walking Dead creator Robert Kirkman, and if you don't know that name, then shame on you. The solicit is that Kyle Barnes has been plagued by demonic possession all his life, and now he needs answers. Unfortunately, what he uncovers along the way could bring about the end of life on Earth as we know it. It begins here with this terrifying double-sized first issue featuring 44 pages of story with no ads for the regular price of just $2.99. So there you go. You have another horror title from Robert Kirkman. And, one of the things that's notable about this is the fact that it is another horror title from Kirkman. We know how successful The Walking Dead has been. I mean, it's just going gangbusters and has been for quite a while. Other works that Kirkman has worked on, not so much. So I would be curious to see what kind of reception Outcast gets, because this is another horror title and it does seem somewhat apocalyptic, or at least it has those overtones as The Walking Dead does. And so maybe coming out with something different from some of the other non-Walking Dead or horror-type titles that he's come out with, for instance, like Thief of Thieves. This will prove successful, and we'll see. Another thing that's notable about this is a double-sized issue, no ads, which is always good, and it's $2.99. Now, Kirkman does keep the price of The Walking Dead down, but that's a black and white comic, and I think that's one of the reasons why he's been able to do that from the very beginning and to gain a large readership and to keep them. But as you'll see on pages 197, 198, and 199, where you have sample art from the first issue, this is not black and white. This is color. So apparently with this first issue, it's double-sized at $2.99. I don't know if the price will be held down there after issue number one. We'll see. But for now, I'm going to be on board with Outcast by Kirkman and Azaceta on page 196 through 199 of the Previews April catalog.
This is Comics for Fun and Profit and Orb on page 196 of your Previews guide. We're in Image Comics, and we're looking at Outlast number 1 by our very own Robert Kirkman, his newest project, and he is with art and cover.
Did you say Outcast or Outlast?
I might have said Outlast, but it is definitely Outcast. Outlast is a video game I played not too long ago, so that may have been what. But art by Paul Azaceta and Elizabeth Breitweiser, along with Robert Kirkman here. And here we have a plagued by demonic possession all his life, and now he needs answers. Unfortunately, what he uncovers along the way could bring about the end of life on Earth as we know it. And, of course, we've got a giant issue, 48 pages, and still only $2.99.
Well, it's 48 pages up here in the pink part of the solicit, but down within the solicit itself, it says 44 pages. Uh-huh. So I don't know how long it is, but it is Kirkman. Is it going to be anything like Invisible, which has ran for 100 issues?
Invincible, yeah.
What did I say?
Invisible. We just can't talk to that.
Or Walking Dead, which, of course, is a phenomenon. You know, is he going to be able to replicate that, or is it going to be Thief of Thieves? Yeah.
They've all been pretty popular. Even his least popular comic is good to read. I mean, for all the things that Thief of Thieves doesn't do well, I prefer it in trade form, but it's still a good book. So Kirkman, he's so good at what he does, and I'm definitely going to check this out. This is back to the horror aspect, just like The Walking Dead is. So I'm really looking forward to this. Hopefully this can be another really long run for him. And I like the fact that we're getting 48, 44, 46, 42, however many pages, and they're still just doing $2.99 to break us into this.
Yes, that's a good price point. Easy to enter this title. It's on page 196 through 200 of the
previews
catalog.
Yeah, they're giving us like 3 or 4 pages of previews in it.
Yeah, a lot of nice pages here. The panels look pretty interesting. A little dark from me, but it looks intriguing, man. I'm definitely down for this. I'm checking it out. I think it's a buy, right?
Hopefully it's like everything else Robert Kirkman does. You're going to wish you were there from the very beginning, and here's the very beginning of a new one of his. So Comics for Fun and Profit recommends, I'm going to say it, Outcast, coming out in June from Image Comics.
This is Derek once again from the Comics Alternative podcast and blog. The next pick of the month is also in the Image section of the catalog. In fact, it follows Outcast. This is The Wicked and the Divine, with story by Kieran Gillen and art by Jamie McElvey. Every 90 years, 12 gods incarnate as humans. They are loved. They are hated. In 2 years, they're dead. The team behind critically thermonuclear floor fillers, Young Avengers, and Phonograph reunite to start a new ongoing superhero fantasy with a beautiful oversized issue. Welcome to The Wicked and the Divine, where gods are the ultimate pop stars. But remember, just because you're immortal doesn't mean you're going to live forever. Actually, the title is The Wicked plus the Divine, so I don't know if that plus sign is an and, or if I should say The Wicked plus the Divine. So either way, this seems interesting. I like Gillen's and McElvey's work. I'm willing to give this a shot. From the solicit, the description where they talk about gods being the ultimate pop stars, I can't help but think of a couple of other titles that have appeared over the past several years. With Vertigo, we had that miniseries, Greatest Hits, where superheroes were pop stars. And much more recently, Nowhere Men from Image, where you have scientists who become pop stars. So now we have a title with gods as pop stars. So let's see what Gillen and McElvey have in store for us with The Wicked and the Divine. And you can see the solicit on pages 201 and art on page 202 and 203 of the April Previews catalog.
Hey guys, it's Drew with a pick from Image on page 208 of the previews catalog. This is Wildfire number 1. Story by Matt Hawkins. Art and cover A by Linda Sajic. And cover B by Stefan Sajic. This is 32 pages for $3.99, and it's genetically modified food and end to world hunger or a first-class ticket to the apocalypse. Dan Miller is a plant biologist working with a small team perfecting an accelerated plant growth process. When things go wrong, Los Angeles pays the price in a disaster story unlike any before. Looks good. I really like some of the other stuff Matt Hawkins has done. I believe he's the think tank guy. Checking it out. The art, there's three or four pages of art in here. And art looks really great, and looking forward to reading this one. So I think you just check it out. It's Wildfire number 1 on page 208 and 209 of the Image section of previews.
Hey guys, TJ here again with my next selection on page 213 of the Image section. It's Dead Body Road trade paperback, story by Justin Jordan, with art by Matteo Scalera and Moreno Denizio. 128 pages, $14.99, with 50% off a DCB service, about $7.50 you're looking at. And it's got a real simple description. The men involved in his wife's death must now die, all of them. And so this is a great kind of revenge story at its most basic level. And it's, you know, a really good example of Matteo Scalera art. And this story is just the perfect kind of place for him to do his really kinetic and visceral art. And I'm a huge Matteo Scalera fan, and I like revenge stories a lot, and that's what this is. And if you're interested in, can't beat 6 issues for $7.50. So check it out on page 213 in the Image section.
Hey guys, it's Drew with a pick from Image on page 215 of the Image section of previews. It's A Voice in the Dark, Volume 1, trade paperback. And you know what? You guys hear a lot from me. Why don't you hear this from the creator himself? Welcome, Laramie.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
A Voice in the Dark. We are through issue 5 in print. And then we have, then you said 6 and 7. Coming up, we have the trade.
Yeah, so issue 6 will come out in April, issue 7 in May, and then the trade comes out in June.
Okay, so let's talk about that trade paperback then. It is, that's a lot of content for a trade.
Yeah, 7 issues, it's really more like 8 plus, is pretty hefty. It's going to be 208 pages, I think.
Yeah, 208 pages.
150 to 160 of that alone is just the sequentials. And then there may be a bonus 8 to 10 page story in the back that a friend of mine and a guest artist are writing and drawing that, if it's done in time, will be in the trade as a bonus story. And then I'll put all kinds of other back matter in there.
That's great.
It'll be worth the buy.
Definitely. It's $19.99, and that's for full retail, and I'm sure that it'll be on sale through your local retailer, your local comic shop. Just make sure that they have it in there.
Pre-order. Please pre-order. Yes.
I appreciate you spending some time with me today, and good luck with the book.
I appreciate it. I'm glad you guys like it.
Thanks, Drew, for getting Laramie on the line to promote his book. He is just knocking it out of the park on A Voice in the Dark. I think this is a great trade paperback, great opportunity for people who haven't been reading it to get on board with it. There is a 50% discount through DCBS because this is one of the comic book page picks of the month. If you shop at a local store, tell them you want this. They'll get it for you. A Voice in the Dark, again, frankly, not the sort of thing I would normally get. It's a little bit more disturbed in some respects for the lead character and stuff that I tend to do, but it is just such a well-written, well-told story that I am just hooked. Definitely. Can't say enough good things about it. Laramie's just knocking it out of the park. And like he said, pre-order this stuff. Anything but the big stuff, even at Marvel and DC. Even everything these days, be it a high-profile book like Superman, some obscure thing in the back, or something from Image even, let your store, let your retailer know that you want it so they can pre-order the stuff. This is a pre-order-based business, and that's what keeps things going, is the advanced orders and such. a $19.99 cover price for a collection of seven issues plus possibly an additional story. That's a bargain. Do it at 50% off through DCBS. $10. Hard to go wrong with that. So, once again, A Voice in the Dark. Volume 1 trade paperback on page 215 of the previews catalog. Check it out.
Darren here, and I have one pick from Marvel this month. This is Miles Morales, The Ultimate Spider-Man number 2. Of course, we have Brian Michael Bendis continuing as writer of this long-running series, which is being rebooted into another volume here, even though technically it has a new title with the Miles Morales addition to the title. We have Dave Marquez doing the art and cover, a variant cover by Amy Reeder. Now, this particular issue is part 2 of an arc called Revival. The solicit reads, after the mind-blowing reveal at the end of the first issue, Miles' life will never be the same again. With S.H.I.E.L.D. gone, the biggest villain in Spider-Man history is out and nothing can stop him. Miles has made a huge choice about the woman he loves. Will he live to regret it? 32 pages, we have a cover price of $3.99. This is another title that I actually discovered digitally. I'm primarily a digital consumer, I guess, but I discovered this one on the Marvel Unlimited app. Didn't pick it up on its first run through comic book stores, decided to read it in Marvel Unlimited, and now I'm loving it, and I'm going to pick up the single issues. Excellent continuation of a story by Brian Michael Bendis, and in this case, I really appreciate his writing style. It's a little more light and breezy when it needs to be. It's dramatic. I miss that style of writing. You know, we get a lot from comic companies like DC these days. We get a lot of, dour storylines. But, you know, Brian Michael Bendis, and I think it's another reason why I appreciate his X-Men run. He likes to have fun with the stories, too. So I'm looking forward to this one. Miles Morales, The Ultimate Spider-Man, number 2.
This is Comics for Fun and Profit, and we are on page 40 of your Marvel previews. And we're going to talk about Hawkeye, number 21, written by Matt Fraction. This one is art by Annie Wu, while David Aja is on the cover. It looks like we're starting a story arc called The Finale, part 1. Now, normally when we get Annie Wu art, we are with Kate Bishop. But it doesn't look like that. It looks like we're back with Clint and Barney and everybody back in the building back in New York City on this one.
Well, this probably won't come out anyway, because it's constantly delayed. So I don't even think we need to recommend this.
And Drew is not a big fan.
No.
Hawkeye took a few months off, had a little bit of trouble, might have mixed the orders up a little bit, and all of a sudden it's the worst comic in history.
And what I'm hoping is this is the finale part one, and then we just call it a day.
And then Fraction's off, they reboot with somebody else, do you think, after this?
I think they just retire the guy for a little while and take a break. That would be the best thing.
I still think it's a phenomenal book. Late or not, out of order or not, I still really enjoy it. I love the idea of, here's your superhero when they're not being a superhero. When he's not in the Avengers, here's his everyday sad sack life and what he really does. And as you can see, some of these other things, these Black Widows, some of the Magnetos, and some of the other stuff, they're doing that. They're taking characters and kind of outside of the action and the everyday things when they're in their supergroups and they're kind of focusing on them then. They're doing that with a lot of things. I enjoy this, still. I don't understand how you don't like it.
I'm 100% with you from issue 1 to 11. And then the wheels fell off the train, and that was that. It's falling apart. It's telling Kate stories instead of Clint stories. It's making Christmas stories in March. It's shipping out of order. It's not shipping at all. You know what? It's done. It's had its fun. I enjoyed it while it was good. It's not good anymore. Goodbye.
But it looks like 17, 18, 19, 20, 21. It looks like we're back on track here. We're ramping up. There's still some action. We had some really cool stuff happen in the last one, number 17 or 18. I can't remember what the last number was. I still think it's a really good book. I still hope this continues after this, and I hope Fraction's not off it. Granted, Fraction already has a bunch of other stuff doing dynamite work over on Image right now. I'm picking up Hawkeye, number 21, by Matt Fraction. It's going to be on page 40 of your previews.
Drew says save $3, buy yourself a latte.
Hey guys, it's Drew with my pick from Marvel. It's Daredevil number 4 on page 49 of Marvel's previews. This is written by Mark Waid with art and cover by Chris Samnee. This one, the Owl is back, but he's not working alone. Watch as the Daredevil team
permanently redefines one of Daredevil's oldest enemies, deadlier than ever. Plus, whatever happened to Foggy Nelson? Crazy question that it's in issue number 4 being answered in number 4, since the way issue number 1 ended, you would think we'd find out some of that in 2 or maybe 3. So, crazy that it's taking this long, but I gotta know, so we have to read Daredevil number 4. This is 32 pages at $3.99. It's available on page 49 of the Marvel's preview, and check it out, and hopefully you're already reading this, but if you're not, you've got to. It's good stuff.
Next up on page 279 from Big Dog Inc. is Scheherazade, and I apologize if I mispronounce that name. It's one of the more interesting comic book title names. Anyways, that character is the Arabian Queen from 1001 Arabian Nights, who told stories to keep herself alive. This series is focusing on that character, and it's a fantasy adventure story where they can basically bounce around in time. She can be a pirate, she can be a cowboy, she could be, you know, a Roman warrior or whatever. In this case, we are actually bouncing around in time, landing in the 1800s, learning the story of the Thunderbolt. I originally picked this up on a, I'll give it a try, see how it goes, kind of a basis. Frankly, on the strength of how I've been liking everything else at Big Dog Inc. that I've been getting. And this was no exception. I stuck with it. I've kept going with it. It's good story, good art, and it's interesting. It's different. I like the fact that they're giving themselves the freedom of, okay, let's tell a story in this genre this time, then let's plop that character into a different setting and see how things go there. It's a lot of fun. It's very interesting. It is a $3.50 book. We've got a 50% discount through DCBS, dropping the price to $1.75 if you want to try it out. Again, this is a shifting part of the story, so they jump us into a new jumping on point. I think it's well worth checking out. Once again, Scheherazade, and again, I apologize if I get the pronunciation of that wrong. Issue number 8 on page 279 from Big Dog Inc. Check it out.
This is Derek again from the Comics Alternative blog and podcast. My next pick of the month is on page 283 of the catalog. This is in the Boom Studio section, issue number 1 of 6 of The Empty Man. Here we have a story written by Cullen Bunn of the Sixth Gun fame, among other titles, and art by Vanessa R. Del Rey. This seems like an interesting title, especially in light of the fact that just recently on the Comics Alternative, we did a special On Location show at my local shop on apocalyptic comics that have been coming out over the past few years. This, from the solicit, sounds like it's something like an apocalyptic comic. It seems like a title that deals with terror. It's a dystopic version of the world as we know, according to the solicit, where a terrifying disease has taken on almost deific connotations. Now, it's been 1 year since the first reported case of the Empty Man disease, and no drug has been able to slow its progress. The cause is unknown, and the symptoms include fits of rage, hideous hallucinations, suicidal dementia, followed by death, or a near lifeless empty state of catatonia. As murder cults rise nationwide, the FBI and CDC, and anytime you have the CDC, it's going to be fun, right? Enter a joint investigation of the Empty Man, hoping to piece together clues to stop the cult and uncover a cure. You know, I feel a little mixed about some of the new titles that Boom Studio has been offering. Some of them resonate with me. Others, they're okay. This one seems interesting, and so I hope this one is one of the ones that resonate. You can check out the solicit and see if this one is for you on page 283 of the April catalog.
Hey guys, TJ back here with another selection, this time in the Boom Studios section on page 285, and this is probably one of my most exciting selections for the entire month. Big Trouble in Little China number 1, with story by John Carpenter and Eric Powell, script by Eric Powell, and art by Brian Chirilla. And if you don't know what Big Trouble in Little China is, I feel sorry for you. It's one of those great 80s classic cult films. It's kind of, you know, supernatural fantasy with the 70s kung fu. It's just a great adventure movie that is, every time I watch it, it gets cheesier and cheesier, but it's so good. I love Kurt Russell in it. It's just, it's such a fun movie to watch. And when you turn your brain off, it says, what, you know, what's it about for people who don't have any idea? It says, Jack Byrne, a macho truck driving adventurer, finds a stowaway hiding on his rig, the Pork Chop Express, but that soon becomes the least of his troubles. He helped his best friend Wang save his fiance from the clutches of a demon, but now the wedding has been invaded by more evil forces with one thing on their minds, revenge against Jack Burton. If you have any love for 80s camp movies and, you know, these classic adventure movies, check this out on page 285 from Boom. I'm just so excited about this. And yeah, I'm the collected editions guy trying to push a single issue. That's how excited I'm about this. So check it out. Again, page 285 from Boom Studios. Hey guys, TJ here again with my next selection on page 289 in the Boom Studios section. It is Six Gun Gorilla trade paperback, story by Simon Spurrier with art by Jeff Stokely, cover art by Ramon Perez. And this is basically the trade edition of the Six Gun Gorilla miniseries. And this is the description. Welcome to the Blister, a bizarre otherworld colonized by humans sometimes in the 22nd century, which quickly became a hotly contested source of fertile land and natural resources long ago exhausted on Earth. In this new frontier, a rogue gunslinger and his companion wander across a wilderness in the grips of a civil war, encountering lawlessness, natives, and perversions of civilization in a world at the crossroads between the past and the future. The fact that Gunslinger is a biosurgically modified silverback gorilla touting a pair of enormous revolvers is neither here nor there. And this is just a great science fiction adventure set, you know, on a different planet. And it's just, it's out there. It's wacky. It's the kind of thing that I really think that the comics medium has a great ability to explore. You know, if you wanted to make a movie out of this or a TV show, it'd be so expensive. But with comics, you can put stuff on the page that you could never do in other mediums, and it works. And so that's what I'm looking forward to reading this series about. And that's Six Gun Gorilla on page 289 of Boom.
This is Derek again from the Comics Alternative Podcast. My next pick of the month is in the Dynamite section. This is on pages 314 and 315 of the catalog. It is Doodle Jump, number one. It's from the writer of Adventure Time, Marceline and the Scream Queen, Meredith Graham, and art by Steve Uri. I'm not sure how you pronounce that name, U-Y, so please forgive me for mispronouncing. One of the things I find curious about this is that it is kind of an all-ages title, I guess you could call that. Also, it's written by someone who has done some significant work with Adventure Time, and if you look at the cover variations on pages 314 and 15, I mean, you can see that it does have that Adventure Time feel to it. Now, I have to admit, I am not familiar with the game Doodle Jump, which this is based on, but I do have my daughter, Zoe, here to tell us a little bit about Doodle Jump because she's played it. Zoe, what is Doodle Jump about?
Well, basically, you're this octopus-type creature, and you're basically bouncing on different types of platforms that do different things. Like, one could be fake and crumble beneath you, or one could light on fire, or something like that. And your goal is to get as high as you possibly can, and it can prove to be very difficult sometimes.
Okay. So who is this little creature here with the, I don't know, honky nose thing?
That is the character that you play as. I'm not sure if it has a specific name, but that's the one you're bouncing on the platforms with.
Huh. Okay, well, thanks for enlightening me. I may have to check out this game. I'm not a big game player on my iPhone or iPad, but given that this title looks interesting, I may have to check out the game Doodle Jump. And if you would like to check out the comic book title Doodle Jump, you can find out more about it on pages 314 and 315 of the April Previews catalog. Thank you, Zoe, for helping out.
No problem.
Once again, this is Derek from the podcast and blog, The Comics Alternative. My next pick of the month is on page 329 of the catalog this month, and it is in the Drawn and Quarterly section. In fact, there are two titles I would like to highlight, both on the same page. The first one is by Julie Delporte.
It's the graphic novel Everywhere Antennas, and the other is by Pascal Girard, Petty Theft. First, Everywhere Antennas. Julie Delporte's Everywhere Antennas is a deeply affecting, sparsely constructed novel, equal parts Walden and The Bell Jar. In small flowing colored pencil, Delporte shows her narrator coming to terms with a rare and misunderstood sensitivity to the radiation emitted by the television, cell phones, and computers that permeate urban life, basically the world we live in. Everywhere Antennas is the portrait of a woman caught in the margins, struggling to balance the demands of technology and modern life with the need to find meaningful relationships and work. With Everything Antennas, Julie Delporte proves herself to be a master craftswoman of heartbreakingly personal, beautifully literate graphic fiction. Now, Julie, and that was the solicit, if you couldn't tell, on page 329. Julie Delporte is a Canadian cartoonist and illustrator. She's actually one of the organizers of Montreal's annual 48-hour comics festival. She currently lives in Montreal as well. And, you know, that's one of the great things about Drawn in Quarterly is that they bring to our attention artists, illustrators, writers, creators in Canada that we may not be aware of. In fact, I like to look at Drawn in Quarterly as the Canadian Fantagraphics, or you can look at Fantagraphics as the United States version of Drawn in Quarterly. That's definitely a title, Everywhere Antennas, that I'm going to be checking out. Now, the other one that I would like to highlight is by the artist Pascal Girard, who is also a Canadian. He is the author most recently of Reunion, which came out in 2011, in April of 2011, in fact, so about 3 years ago exactly. Also, the graphic novel Nicholas. And then in 2010, Bigfoot was a work of his. And in fact, Bigfoot is resolicited on page 329. But his most recent work, the one that's going to be coming out in a couple of months, is Petty Theft. Pascal's in a bad place. He's out of work. He and his longtime girlfriend have just broken up, and when he goes out for a run to ease his frazzled nerves, he falls and injures his back so badly he's strictly forbidden from running. What's an endorphin-loving cartoonist to do? In a bid to distract himself, Pascal throws himself into his other pleasure, reading. And while at the bookstore one day, he spies a young woman picking up his own book, but then she darts out of the shop without paying. Bemused, he decides to figure out why she did it. Now, Pascal Girard intermingles an all-too-true-to-life snapshot of contemporary relationships and slapstick trials and dryly funny tribulations in his delightfully readable book. So there you go. You have it straight from Fantagraphics that it's delightfully readable. I really do like the work of Girard. His Reunion was a semi-autobiographical work. It's a very good read. In fact, that's also resolicited on page 329. So these are two Canadian comics artists that you should check out if you don't already know them. Pascal Girard with his upcoming book, Petty Theft, and Julie Delporte with Everywhere Antennas. And this is in the Drawn in Quarterly section of the catalog. This is Derek once again from the Comics Alternative podcast and blog. My next picks of the month are in the Fantagraphic section, which spans pages 332 and 333 of the catalog. There are quite a number of new titles to choose from, but actually there are two that I would like to highlight. The first is on page 332, and this is the next installment in Fantagraphic's acclaimed EC reprint series. It's by includes work by John Severin, Will Elder, and Harvey Kurtzman, among others. Bomb Run and Other Stories. The team of Harvey Kurtzman and John Severin was one of the most fruitful collaborations in the history of comics. And then together with Will Elder, they produced, believe it or not, 34 dramatic and emotional war stories in just under 3 years. That's quite an achievement. This book, Bomb Run and Other Stories, collects all of them. It features the battlefields of Roman Empire and the American Revolutionary War through World War II and the Korean War. Another great addition in the Fantagraphics EC reprint series. The other one that I'd like to highlight in the Fantagraphics section is on the next page, 333, and this is Drew Friedman's book, Heroes of the Comics, Portraits of the Pioneering Legends of comic books. Now, this book features over 80 full-color portraits of the pioneer of comics from the 1930s to the 1950s by cartooning legend Drew Friedman. It features subjects popular and obscure, men and women, as well as several pioneering African-American artists. And each portrait includes a short essay by Friedman. It's a hall of fame of comic book history from the men BoingBoing.com calls America's greatest living portrait artist. And in fact, if you're not familiar with the portrait art of Drew Friedman, then you can find on page 333 a number of books that are resolicited that will introduce you to some of his portraits. Most notably, his series of Jewish comedians. You can read Old Jewish Comedians. There are More Old Jewish Comedians. And then the third book, Even More Old Jewish Comedians. And Friedman does an outstanding job of drawing portraits of the legends of not just Jewish comedy, but basically American comedy, because Jewish Americans, in many ways, arguably, have laid the scaffolding of comedy as we know it, from the early days of vaudeville through radio and television up to the present day. And one of the things that Friedman does is he draws these incredible portraits of these comedians. And so you'll have to check this out. And apparently he's doing the same with comic artists. And since this goes up to the 1950s, my guess is that this is going to be another series where we will have more heroes of the comics and even more heroes of the comics coming up in the months or years to come. So you can check out this book on page 333, along with, in the previous page, Bomb Run and Other Stories, both from Fantagraphics.
Hey guys, it's Drew with a pick from page 339 in the previous catalog. This is the Overstreet Comic Book Price Guide. And I know a lot of folks have their smartphones and the internet and all that, and so they don't really think they need the Overstreet Price Guide. But let me tell you, I love the Overstreet Price Guide. I always have. And so maybe there's a little bit of nostalgia there, but it's always got some great information, trends over the last year in comics, and what's hot, what's selling now. I used to love to just pore over all the ads and all the really cool key issues that are being sold. There's some great articles in here, always some great articles, and you get to see some awesome comics in some great condition. Usually learn something. I always learn something when I get that, and it's a great read. I never get the hardcover, though. I never pay the extra $6 for the hardcover, so I have a bunch of soft cover Overstreets. They're always well worth it. I can't recommend it enough. Tons of info in here. I love the Overstreet Price Guide. It's $29.95 for the soft cover. There are two covers. There's the Batman cover and the Vampirella cover. $29.95, 1,168 pages. A great digest to have, and everybody should have one on their shelf. They're just a wealth of information. First appearances, key issues, stuff like that you may or may not know already. So, again, Overstreet Price Guide on page 339 of the previews.
Hey guys, my next selection is on page 349 of the Oni Press section, and this is I Was the Cat, writer Paul Tobin, artist Benjamin Dewey. It's a full color 144-page hardcover for $24.99. I think it's 30% off with Oni from DCBS. And it says, Allison Breaking is a talented journalist with her own blog and a lot of bills to pay. So when she receives an offer from a mysterious stranger named Burma to write his memoirs, it's an offer she can't refuse, not even with all the red flags popping up. But Burma is quite literally unlike any man Allison's ever known because he's a cat. This cat has stories to tell about he, over the course of a few lifetimes, has shaped the world and another darker story that Allison must risk all to uncover, a story of what this particular cat has been doing the last of his 9 lives. And I'm a huge fan of Paul Tobin. He does the Monkey Brain book Bandette with his wife, Colleen Coover. And so I'm kind of taking a shot here based on how good of a writer I think he is. And, you know, it's kind of got a pretty intriguing story, and it looks like to be a standalone graphic novel. So I'm looking forward to a good story by a good writer and hopefully some good art, which it looks like on the page they have a little bit of the art and looks pretty good. So if you're interested in checking that out, it's on page 349 of the Oni section.
Next up on page 352 is letter 44, number 7 from Oni Press. This is a special one-shot issue, single done-in-one kind of a story that's going to give us some background on Charlotte Hayden, who is leading the crew of the Clark in the current adventures going on in letter 44. And I like how they're basically having a guest artist, Jalel Jones, come in, do a one-issue story, and they're using that as just a, hey, let's take a breather, let's do a flashback, let's get the origin or the backstory on one of these characters to help better understand and better appreciate that character in the ongoing adventures. If that doubles as spelling out the regular artist for a month and giving them a chance to either catch up, take a break, or whatever, hey, that's a bonus too for everybody. It's a great way to use a guest artist. I don't want to say fill in, that sounds wrong. I think having the different art style for a flashback issue like this is, frankly, from a creative and artistic decision, a very good move. It gives it a different feel to making it that much clearer in, say, a collected edition or something. Hey, this is a flashback. This is set elsewhere in time. So I fully respect and agree with that creative decision. It just seems like a win-win all the way around. This is written by Charles Soule, who's just been doing a lot of great work lately, including here on Letter 44. This is a $3.99 comic. The basic premise, it's interesting, they put the genre as Western fantasy. I would have gone with actually sci-fi. This is about the 44th president having just taken office, gotten a letter from his predecessor saying, yeah, all the great stuff you want to do, well, there's this alien ship or spacecraft or some thing out beyond, like, I don't know, Jupiter or whatever. I'm a little worried about it. We've been devoting a lot of resources towards prepping this secret mission that nobody knows about. It launched a couple of years ago. They're about to get to encountering that thing right around the time you take office. Best of luck. Have fun. I'm going fishing. That's not literally what the letter said, but that's figuratively what's going on. New guy takes the office of president and has this huge world-changing thing to deal with that's been set in motion for years that nobody knows about. And just how that impacts the decisions that president makes, the previous president had made, etc. There's a political aspect to that. There's a good science fiction aspect of what is this unknown thing out in the far reaches of our solar system and what's going on there. There's the whole aspect of you've got a long-term deep space mission and the crew there, the group dynamics, all that kind of stuff. It's a very interesting concept. They're doing a great job executing on it. This is a good kind of one-shot, done-in-one story, giving us some backstory. Good place to kind of sample the universe, if you will. Sure, it's a different artist. It's the same writer, though. It'll give you a taste of, is this the sort of world you want to explore or not? I think it's worth checking out. Once again, Letter 44, Number 7 from Oni Press on page 352. Check it out. Are you a Doctor Who fan and don't know which to choose as your favorite Doctor? The 10th Doctor, the 11th Doctor? You know they're going to do a new comic book series over at Titan Comics on the Doctor, and you're agonizing as to, you know, do I want David Tennant? Do I want Matt Smith? What do I want? Well, do not fear, I have the solution for you. The next two picks are on page 360, I think 7 actually is where the actual solicits are. I wish they would put page numbers on this thing, actually. I've got it on page 362 and 3 in the previews. I take it back. 367 is where the solicits are. There's a two-page ad on page 362. Anyways, as I was saying, you don't know which Doctor to pick? Don't worry, they picked both. If you want to follow Doctor Who, the 10th Doctor, its first issue starts up this month. If you want to follow Doctor Who, the 11th Doctor, its first issue starts up this month. Both are $3.99, and both are going to have, I believe, 15 issues a year. 30 issues a year of Doctor Who. That's just mind-boggling. Half for the 10th Doctor, half for the 11th, and frankly, once the 12th or 13th or whatever the Peter Capaldi one is going to get numbered, it's also confusing. Once that has enough episodes under its belt to really kind of let the TV show establish that character, I'm kind of expecting we're going to get another series. And frankly, I wouldn't mind if they kind of do some miniseries exploring past Doctors and whatnot. I thought IDW did a great job with the license. I'm really looking forward to what Titan Comics is going to do with the franchise, the character, and the different incarnations, different regenerations. So we've got, like I said, both Doctor Who the 10th Doctor number 1 and Doctor Who the 11th Doctor number 1 this month, both of which are DCBS comic book page picks of the month, giving them a 50% discount. So for the price of one comic, you can try both and figure out which one you like best, or do what I'm doing and just get both. A big Doctor Who fan, I'll admit, I got on with the restart with the Russell T. Davies era and the Chris Eccleston Doctor. I've dabbled a little in some stuff prior to that, but really, David Tennant, Matt Smith, those are the ones that I consider to be the Doctor. Both of them did a great job. I'm looking forward to both of those incarnations getting a ongoing series, and particularly one that's doing, you know, 15 issues a year for both. So, once again, Titan Comics, Doctor Who, 10th Doctor and 11th Doctor number ones on page 367, the $3.99 comics, 50% discount through DCBS. If you're going to get them from your local retailer, let them know that you want one, both, or whichever. Because, again, with these two launching simultaneously, that's a little risky for retailers. Help them out. Let them know. Pre-order. Pre-ordering is your friend. It is the retailer's friend. It just helps everybody all the way around. So, check it out.
Hey guys, TJ here with my last selection for the month. It's on page 368 in the top shelf section. It's called Pinocchio Vampire Slayer Complete Edition graphic novel, writing by Van Jensen and art by Justin Higgins. It's 528 pages, black and white, for $24.95, and I think you can get that under $20 through DCBS. It says, this puppet may not be a real boy, but he just might be a real hero. When bloodthirsty monsters invade Pinocchio's hometown and kill his father Geppetto, but Pinocchio discovers a new benefit to his magical nose. Telling lies produce a never-ending supply of wooden stakes to combat the vampire hordes. Will Pinocchio be able to defeat these horrors and avenge his father and save his friends? For the first time, the complete trilogy is collected together in a single deluxe softcover edition. So it's kind of a comedy horror of, you know, interesting story, and I like top shelf stuff. I rarely lead me wrong, and I'm a pretty big Van Jensen fan. So you know, it's hard sometimes to find stuff in the back. You know, it gets jumbled all together, and it's hard to stick out. Especially you get a little bit of fatigued after going through the entire catalog for the month. And I just wanted to make sure people realize there's a lot of good stuff put out by companies like Top Shelf, Titan Books, Titan Comics, things like that. So if you're interested in checking out a good meaty read, 528 pages, what looks pretty entertaining, it's Pinocchio Vampire Slayer, the complete edition, on page 368 in the Top Shelf section. Have a good month, guys.
Next up on page 379 is Exo Man of War number 26 from Valiant Entertainment. This is a new starting point, new storyline here. It is kicking off the Armor Hunters tie-in for Exo. This is also going to be tying in with Unity and I believe getting its own limited series as well as tying into Bloodshot, Harbinger, and who knows what else. This is a major kind of aspect of the Valiant universe these days, and centering around, again, the Exo Manowar armor and that aspect, which is, of course, a key aspect of the Exo Manowar series. Go figure, geez. Robert Vendetti is doing some great work here. Diego Bernard, wonderful stuff on the art. This is a $3.99 comic, unless you want the Chromium edition. And if you do, by the way, they, because of the lead time they need to produce those things, they have already, said they will be available in, quote, robust but limited quantities set prior to solicitation and orders may be allocated. Hey, at least they're being upfront about this. DC should have done that last year when they did the Villain Month, 3D covers and such. So at least somebody's learning from that mistake. Well, and DC is too, in fairness. Anyways, I'm enjoying Exo. I think the Armor Hunters crossover is going to be a very interesting aspect of the overall picture of the Valiant universe. Hopefully you can follow just parts of it solo, not have to get the whole thing. although if you do, I'm sure you'll get a really good story. This is another thing that's a comic book page pick of the month through DCBS. We got a 50% discount there. Check it out.
This is Derek once again. I am from the Comics Alternative podcast and blog. Come by and read us and listen to us. But for now, I want you to listen to my final pick from the April catalog, and it is on page 384. It is by David Baller, The Last Days of Mankind, a graphic novel after Karl Kraus. 100 years ago, one of the history's great tragedies began on June 28, 1914, the assassination of the heir of the throne, Franz Ferdinand, and his wife in Sarajevo set in motion a chain reaction that ended in what is today known as the Second World War. At the time, Austrian writer Karl Kraus wrote his epic masterpiece, The Last Days of Mankind, about the sentiments during the time of the war, and which seems as relevant today as it did back then. Now, reporting mostly from the point of view of Austrian society in Vienna, this satirical and eye-opening graphic novel teaches us one thing. In regards to war, mankind has learned absolutely nothing in 100 years. This is published by Visual Graphics. One of the things that drew my attention to this book is not only the striking cover, but also the fact that this is based on a previous work of non-historical fiction, covering the Second World War. And I really appreciate graphic novels that deal with history, with biography, and even journalism. That's why I absolutely love the work of Joe Sacco, who also captures moments of international conflict in his work. And here with The Last Days of Mankind, we have David Baller taking on the beginnings of the First World War. So I think it's worth checking out. And in fact, this reminds me of another series of books that is dealing with history and war. Shigeru Mizuki's Showa, 1926 through 1939. This is a history of Japan. Came out not long ago, and pretty soon we're going to get the next installment, Showa 1939 to 1944. That's going to be coming out, I think, in the next couple of months, and so you may want to check that out as well. But on page 384, you have from Virtual Graphics, The Last Days of Mankind by David Baller. Thank you guys for the opportunity to share with you some of my picks for the month of April.
So, as I record this, I have only done kind of a first pass through my order. I have also not edited together this episode. I record my clips and then just kind of put them in with everybody else's. And invariably during that process, I will listen to people's clips and say, ooh, I should be getting that. And I'll be honest, that has me a little worried this time around because of things like Darren's clips on the Batman Joker hardcover that you guys have listened to. And by the time this episode goes up, I will have listened to it too. But so far, I haven't. And those are the kinds of big ticket items that could get added to my list that currently are not there. And right now, I've got, let's see, about 8 items from Dark Horse, 56 from DC, 6 from IDW, 16 from Image, 78 from Marvel, and about 34 from the back half. So nearly 40% of my stuff is Marvel, a little over 28 actually is DC in terms of percentage. And the last thing I really need is a couple of big ticket items kind of landing on the list and throwing that title up a little more. It's one of those things that while I can afford it, I need to be a little more cognizant of how much I'm spending on stuff. I've had a couple of expensive months lately due to like deciding to get those Alex Toth hardcovers, the Chip Kid guide to graphic design, some stuff like that. The other thing I haven't done yet is factor in the bundles that DCBS has on their order form. One of the advantages to shopping with DCBS is not only do they give great discounts, but on top of that, they tend to have some really good bundles and stuff. This time around, they've got a dozen DC issues for 50% off. They've got an Image bundle that's got a bunch of stuff. They've been doing a Valiant one the last couple of months, and once again, they've got that here. Sometimes that gets me onto a couple of titles I wouldn't have been on otherwise. Other times, it just saves me some money for stuff I'm already getting. But either way, that's always good to do, just to save a couple of bucks there. If you're listening to this episode and you don't shop through DCBS, hey, by all means, if you've got a great local retailer, support them. We need local retailers. They do a terrific job. I am by no means trying to suggest people abandon them or anything. I just found that for my purchase level and purchasing habits, going mail order just worked well for me. There is the downside that it takes another couple of days to get the books, but, you know, hey, I can live with that. But yeah, a couple of big months. This time around was again, no exception to that. There's a lot of good stuff. It's interesting because I consider myself more of a DC fan than a Marvel fan at heart. And even with two weekly titles going on at DC right now, I'm still getting a lot more, like 22 issues more over at Marvel these days. They're double shipping a lot of things. They've got, you know, a weekly series or two with the Original Sin miniseries going on. There's just, yeah, a lot to be buying, which is why I want to encourage people to send in clips each and every month of previews. There is so much fighting for people's attention. I know most people don't have the allocation of time, money, or resources, or even the interest to get as much as I do and read as much as I do. So let's help people out. Let's find the stuff that they're going to like the best. Not everything is suitable for everybody, and I'd rather people be buying, you know, whatever their budget allows of stuff they're really going to love versus just whatever their budget allows. And yeah, maybe it's the right stuff, maybe it's not the best use of that money for them. So the more we can tell people and tell each other about what we're liking, why we're liking it, and whatnot, the better off we are. Once again, this is an open submission policy type episode. I don't think I've ever turned anyone away. Occasionally we'll have dupes. We have one or two this month. Not a big deal. So long as we do a really good job covering a wide variety of titles. And I think we did a great job this time around. So thanks everybody that sent in clips. Again, I could do this episode solo, but frankly, it wouldn't be all that good. Getting just my taste in comics isn't enough. So thanks Brandon, Darren, Derek, Drew, Laramie, the creator of A Voice in the Dark for chiming in on a clip. Again, creators are welcome to send in stuff. They work so hard on these things that anything they can do to promote it, I think they should, and this is a vehicle for that. I also want to thank TJ for sending in clips and the guys over at Comics for Fun and Profit. And a real big shout out to Drew for the not only getting Laramie on for the clip this time around, but we're also going to have a preview spotlight interview episode, provided I get that edited, which I haven't done quite yet, and that'll be after I assemble this episode. Anyways, he talked with Laramie at length on A Voice in the Dark, and again, I think that's just a wonderful series. It's a very gripping story. I think people who like who find like The Walking Dead to be kind of an immersive story with a strong hook that pulls you in. A Voice in the Dark, very, very different story, but it's got that same aspect of taking the reader, pulling them firmly into that universe, and keeping them there. And I really respect that. So, again, Drew, thanks for doing the interview and stuff. Really appreciate that. So, I think that wraps it up for this episode of the preview spotlight. Hopefully you guys found stuff that you would like. The orders for DCBS are due on April 23rd. According to the consumer order form, orders to local retailers are due on the 18th, figuring they've got a little bit more work because they've got to kind of hand tabulate everything as to what their orders are going to be, and they just need a little time to do that. Totally reasonable. The next previews will be released on April 30th, and therefore the deadline for the next round of submissions and stuff for the next preview spotlight will be the morning of Saturday, May 10th. The sooner you can get it in, the better. And I really appreciate everybody putting on the forum thread what ones they're going to do. It just makes it really easy to make sure I don't miss anything for me just to build up my checklist of what all I've got to do. I really appreciate that. So if you see stuff on the online solicits, which frankly will be coming up about the time this episode goes out for the next round of previews and solicits and stuff, make some notes, set yourself some reminders. I've got an emailing list for reminders on previews. If you want me to add you to that list, just send me an email and say, hey, please add me to the emailing list for the preview spotlight. I'd be happy to do it. So I think that wraps it up. Hopefully you found some comics you like. Enjoy. The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.